when people build a house, perhaps not in the villages, but here in the cities, if it's a big building, they always make a plan. In fact, in the cities, you've got to get that plan sanctioned before you start your construction. How high do you want to build it? And etc. Then Jesus spoke about it in terms of somebody who just built a foundation and left it. That means he didn't have a proper understanding before he started of what his goal was. So, when you are having a church in your locality, what's your purpose? If you're building a house and I ask you, why are you building a house? You'd say, well, I've got to stay with my family. I don't want to keep paying rent. So I decided, since I had the money, I decided to build a house. Or if you decide to get a job in some other place, I say, why are you taking a job there? You have a reason. Oh, I can earn a little more money there. And I can take care of my children, give them a good education. There's nothing wrong with all this. There's nothing wrong with earning more money or going to one place or another. If your aim in life is to glorify God, you buy a car or a scooter, you have a purpose. When you have a church, what is your purpose? If it's a wrong purpose, for example, if a man says, I'm going to build a house just to show all the neighborhood how rich I am. Yeah, there are people who build like that also. There are people who buy a car to show other people, you know what, I'm not such a poor man. What is the purpose with which you are running a church or leading a church? Have you got a goal? Have you got a purpose? Is it the right purpose? Do you know whether that is the reason with which God wants a church there? And for that you need to have a clear understanding of what your goal as a personal Christian is. And there's not much teaching on that in Christendom. In some places, the main thing is you've got to go to heaven. So make sure we get as many people as possible to go to heaven. So, that, because that is their goal, they just go everywhere, get people to minimum necessary to go to heaven. Okay, finish now, I have to go to the next place. You see, being born again is like being born in one sense. So to bring people to Christ is something like producing children. So supposing one man's goal in life is, I must have as many children as possible in my life. He goes here and marries some few women and has a lot of children there. And then goes somewhere else. And then somewhere else, I'm having children, I'm going to have children. We've got to have children. And he produces maybe 100 children in his life. I hope you know that you can also produce 100 children if you want. All men have that ability. But you may not be able to care for 100 children. Are children to be produced, just okay, produced and thrown on the street? Or are they to be brought up to adulthood. Church is a family. It's not enough to have children. We have to bring them up. Any idiot can have children, but only a wise man can bring up children properly. So to just go around evangelizing and bringing people to Christ here and there, get people to believe, it's pretty easy. It's easy in many parts of Kerala and Tamil Nadu. It's a fact. Most of the people in many of the Kerala churches are from Christian backgrounds. Fairly easy. Little more difficult when you go to North India. Even there, it's easy if you work among poor, very poor people who need food, who need clothing, and you can help them with all that. They'll also accept Christ. And that's why you find the missionaries went among such people. And that's why you find in North India almost all the Christians are from that level of society. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be saved. Always my question is, Lord, is it only such people who are supposed to be saved? What is the ultimate goal? Is it just somehow to get a person to say, hey, I've accepted Christ and that's it? If that is the case, I'd say 90% of the New Testament I don't need. It's a waste of time, all these 27 books in the New Testament. 4 or 5 pages would have been enough. A lot of Christians today are operating on about 4 or 5 pages of the New Testament. They think God was a fool to write such a lot of things. I don't believe God is a fool. I believe Christians are some of the biggest fools on earth. Because they don't study the Bible. They don't feel that every child of God must be taught to do everything that Jesus commanded. If it's only producing children, we can produce 100 children. But if it is to bring them up to adulthood and to maturity, I mean, even 3 or 4 is tough. Even to bring 3 or 4 children up. So that's the choice we face. Shall we reach out and get more and more people and get delighted that our church is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger? I used to sometimes think, you know, CFC also now, more and more people are coming. Now we have some people sitting upstairs because there's not enough place to sit here in our Sunday meetings. But I'm not all that excited. I say, Lord, we count the chairs and see how many people came on Sunday. But Lord, what do you think? I say, Lord, CFC, we have 250 people. But that's because we go by address list, families, how many children, count all that. But Lord Jesus, tell me how many you feel are disciples. Who are disciples? That's the number I want to know. So many people crowded around Jesus. But he had 11 disciples. I want to know, and that I'm sure it's a much smaller number than 250. much smaller than that. And I say, how many do we have in CFC who are of the quality of those disciples you made? Do you ever ask that question about your church? Or you're happy that everybody turns up Sunday morning and you're unhappy if somebody does not come to your church but decided to go to some other church now? I'm never disturbed if somebody wants to go to some other church. He's unhappy here, he should go somewhere else. If he can grow spiritually there, let him go. We are here to make disciples. If we lose that vision, it's just a matter of time before, like I said, we'll be producing one more department in the hospital, of which there are already 1,000 departments. And we will not produce what God wants us to produce. God says, in the hospital called the church in India, I want a department where in every room of that department they are teaching everybody to do every single thing I commanded. I have gone enough maternity wards where children are just being born. I want a department now where these children are healed from all their diseases. Where they are healed from their anger and their bitterness and their love of money and all these things. Is the Lord finding such a department? Or are we also like all these other people excited that more children are being born? Third rate, sick. Who always have to be on incubators, to they can't breathe themselves. They have to be fed forever almost. And the mother stands up there to give the feeding bottles to everybody Sunday morning. And all the people, the children are lying down there Sunday morning, and every mother goes and gives the feeding bottles to everybody. And 100 of them lying there kicking their legs and sucking the bottle. And after another few years, 200 people sitting sucking their bottles. Is this a home? Some of these children are big now, they are 20 years old sucking their bottles. Because the mother will never let them do anything themselves. They won't allow them to even cross the road when they are 20 years old. I have to hold your hand. I have to tell you what you must do. You must. We have in our churches pastors without the title of pastors. Children are not growing. My brothers, what is your vision? Are you getting brainwashed by all the others to start one more department like them? Have you heard the commission of Jesus, go into every place and make disciples? Teach them to do every single thing I have commanded you. How many people like that have you produced in your church? That is the strength of your church as far as God is concerned.
தேவனை பொறுத்தமட்டில் அதுதான் சபையுடைய பலன்.
You can count the number of people sitting in your church, but that's for your satisfaction.
உங்களுடைய சபையில் உட்கார்ந்திருக்கிற எத்தனையோ தலைவரை நீங்கள் எண்ணலாம், அது உங்களுடைய திருப்திக்காக தான்.
And you can rejoice when some more people come, some more families have come. Have they become disciples? Have they overcome sin? Are they getting free from the love of the world? Have they learned to live together in peace at home? Have they learned to rejoice always? Have they learned to get things from the scriptures themselves instead of being fed by you all the time? Or are they oversized babies? Are they all retarded children for whom the mother has to do everything day and night? What was the main reason Jesus came to earth and lived for 33 years? Number one was to show this world what God was like. Please remember this, my dear brothers. The world into which Jesus came did not have any idea what God was like. They had all types of wrong ideas. God was some policeman, God was a judge. Most things are impossible with God. You have to just help yourself, that's all. You have a little bit of religion, but God and all, He can't do many things for you. And Jesus came and shattered all those wrong ideas. He said, God is a father. He never gives anything evil to His children. He's a forgiving, loving Father. And He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, He used to keep on saying, I'm Son of Man, which means He was an ordinary man. He was not one who's putting awe into other people, putting fear into other people. I've seen a lot of preachers in my life like that. Elder brothers, put a fear into other people. They are not ordinary people. Jesus didn't do that. He demonstrated what God was like. He said, you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. God is not going around trying to frighten people. I mean, if He wanted to do that, He could have frightened everybody every morning by thundering from heaven. He loves people. And Jesus demonstrated by His life what God was like. And He went up to heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit. And He said, now you people, do what I did. As the Father sent Me, so send I you. Go into the world and show them what God is like. When they see your life, they must see what God is like. When they see your church, they must see what God is like. That's our calling. See two verses which are similar. Have you noticed? It's the only time, only twice in the Bible this expression comes. John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. That is when Jesus was on earth. No one has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son of God, He has explained Him. You know, I always felt that the mark of a good teacher is he can make the most complicated thing look simple. When I was in school, one of my favorite subjects was mathematics. I really loved it. And I mean, not everybody has that type of mind, but my mind is to try to understand the principle behind everything.
எல்லாருடைய மனதும் அப்படி வேலை செய்யவில்லை. ஆனால் என்னுடைய மனது எப்படி என்றால் ஒவ்வொரு கணித
என்ன
கோட்பாடு இருக்கிறது என்பதை பார்ப்பேன்.
So as long as up to 10th standard I could teach my children mathematics.
அவை 10ஆம் வகுப்பு வரை என்னுடைய பிள்ளைகளுக்கு நான் கணிதம் சொல்லிக் கொடுக்க முடிந்தது.
In simple ways explain things.
மிகவும் எளிய விதத்திலே நான் காரியங்களை.
And I saw that it's very easy if you understand something you can explain it in a very simple way.
மிகவும் எளிய வகையிலே ஒன்றை விளக்கிக் கொண்டால் அது மிகவும் உண்மையாக எளிதாயிருக்கும்.
People who make something complicated are the people who don't understand the subject themselves.
யார் அதிகமாகவே காரியங்களை புரியாத அளவுக்கு சிக்கலாக்கி விடுவார்கள் என்றால்
Whether it's mathematics or physics or the Bible.
கணிதமோ பௌதிகமோ அல்லது வேதமோ.
The less you know of the Bible, the more complicated you'll make it.
எந்த அளவுக்கு குறைவாய் வேதத்தை அறிந்திருக்கிறீர்களோ அந்த அளவுக்கு சிக்கலாக என்னுடைய பாடத்தை போதிப்பேன்.
But if you know it properly, it's very interesting and very simple.
நீங்கள் ஒழுங்காக வேதத்தை கற்று அறிந்திருந்தால் அதை எளிமையான விதத்தில் போதிப்பீர்கள்.
Just like mathematics and physics is a bore for some people and exciting for some people.
ஒரு சிலருக்கு கணிதமும் பௌதிகமும் போரிக்கிற சப்ஜெக்டா இருக்கிறது. ஒரு சிலருக்கு இது
Same way, the Bible is boring and heavy for some people and very exciting for some others.
அதே போலதான் வேதமானது ஒரு சிலருக்கு போர் வைக்கிறதா இருக்கிறது ஒரு சிலருக்கு உற்சாகப்படுத்தி கூடியதா இருக்கிறது.
And the whole subject of God is boring for some people, but to me it's the most exciting subject in the world.
ஒரு சிலருக்கு தேவன் என்ற பாடமே மிகவும் போரிக்கிற பாடமா இருக்கிறது. ஏன்னா அது பரவாயில்லை கூடியதா இருக்கிறது.
That's because they got a wrong understanding of God.
அது ஏனென்றால் அவர்கள் தேவனை தவறாக புரிந்து கொண்டார்கள்.
How to correct it.
அது எப்படி சரிபடுத்துவது?
That's why God placed you in that town.
ஆகவே தான் இந்த பட்டணத்திலே தேவன் உங்களை வைத்திருக்கிறார்.
Why do you think God placed you there?
ஏன் தேவன் உங்களை அந்த பட்டணத்திலே வைத்திருக்கிறார்?
To correct all these wrong impressions about God that people have.
ஜனங்கள் வைத்திருக்கிற தேவனை பற்றிய அந்த தவறான கருத்துக்களை சரி செய்ய முடியும்.
Particularly the younger generation.
குறிப்பாக வளர்ந்து வருகிற இளைய சமுதாயத்தினர்.
Supposing the younger generation some parents says come on come to the church today.
இளைய சமுதாயத்தினரே
Okay, okay, mommy, they come. Some 17-year-old, 18-year-old boy and girl, come. They come to your church. And they sit through the 2 hours of that. And they come home. And they say, see, daddy, I told you, God is the most boring subject in the world. I saw it in the last 2 hours. You tell me honestly, daddy, didn't you also get bored?
அப்பா நீங்களே தேவையா சொல்லுங்க உங்களுக்கு போர்
அடிக்கலையா? How to say the truth to my son or daughter?
மகனுக்கு உண்மை எப்படி சொல்றது?
That's a tragedy today.
இதுக்கு பரிதாபம் இதுதான்.
Ah, you say these young people are not interested in God.
வாழ்நாள் தேவனிலே விருப்பமில்லாமல் இருக்கிறார் என்று சொல்கிறீர்கள்.
That's because you have presented a boring, unrealistic God to them. Don't blame them. Blame yourself. Say, Lord, we have failed. I tell you, God will do miracles for you when you say you have failed. When you come to the day in your life, when you say, Lord, For 10 years I have bored my church with boring sermons, something will happen in your life.
ஆண்டவரே 10 வருடமாக இந்த சபையில போரிட்டிருக்கிற பிரசங்கத்தை செய்து கொண்டே இருந்த நீங்கள் சொல்லும் நாளிலே ஒன்று
நடக்கும். But if you say, no, these fellows are not interested. What to do, brother? These are the last days.
கடைசி காலத்திலே வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறோம். இவர்கள் எல்லாரும் தேவத்துவத்தில் விருப்பமில்லாதவர்கள் இருக்கிறார்கள்.
It's exactly like the Bible says in the last days it's happening in my town and village.
வேதம் கடைசி காலத்தில் நடக்கக்கூடிய காரியங்கள் சொல்லப்படும் போலவே என்னுடைய பட்டத்தில் இருக்கிற சகோதரரே.
You keep saying that you'll be boring people for the next 20 years unless hopefully you die sooner.
அப்படி நீங்கள் சொல்லுவீர்கள் சொன்னால் நீங்கள் சீக்கிரமாக சாகவிட்டால் 20 வருடம் அடுத்த 20 வருடம் போரிட்டு கொண்டே தான் இருப்பீர்கள்.
Take the blame yourself. Lord, we are driving away our young people because we have presented a boring, uninteresting Christianity and a boring God to them.
ஆண்டவரே விருப்பமற்ற போரிக்கக்கூடிய கிறிஸ்தவத்தை அவர்களுக்கு காண்பித்து விட்டோம். ஆண்டவரே மன்னிக்கிறேன்.
Or a religious God who is only interested in fasting and prayer.
அல்ல எப்பொழுது பார்த்தாலும் உபவாசம் ஜெபம் இதிலே விருப்பமுள்ள ஒரு மத சம்பந்தமான தேவனை நீங்கள் அவர்களுக்கு காண்பித்திருக்கிறீர்களா?
Jesus fasted and prayed.
இயேசு உபவாசித்தார் ஜெபித்தார்.
But I tell you children just love Jesus. Sinful people flocked to him because he never made them feel small, even though he was the holiest man on earth. We have to admit that we have failed. I say that. I say, Lord, I don't believe we have accomplished all that you want us to accomplish. Because I say, I don't see in CFC or in our churches all that God wants to accomplish. Are we presenting God in a, as He really is? Absolutely holy. But absolutely loving, merciful, and as interesting and exciting as He is holy. I want to know God as more interesting than the most interesting television program or movie I have seen in my life. He is. Because it is my father who gave those fellows the intelligence to produce that television program. Don't you think the teacher would be more interesting than an interesting student? You know what some of these fantastic programs that television produce on nature and animals and science and all that. It's fantastically interesting.
And
this is not evil programs. This is all about wonders in nature and science, about electricity and so many things.
And
children watch it so interestingly they don't even want to go and have their lunch. But they sit in a church for 15 minutes and I thought it was 1 hour, only 15 minutes. You mean we have to sit through another 1 hour 45 minutes for this type of stuff? I mean, we've already sung 15 songs, why do we want to sing one more? Because we've got to somehow make the service spiritual by making it 3 hours long. We have got these Pentecostal ideas. It's not in the Bible. Long meeting equals spiritual meeting. That's what Jesus said. The Gentiles think long prayer means God will definitely hear it. I can give you one bit of a suggestion, of a bit of homework, which will take you maybe 1 year to complete. During 2006, try and read the New Testament as if you are a non-Christian who has never read the Bible before, doesn't know what it is. And you get excited. Hey, this is amazing. Lord, where did we get this thing in our church? This is not here. And this thing is not here in our church, which is here. You get a lot of surprises. Then we will get rid of traditions. You think it's only the Roman Catholics and CSI who have traditions? We have got as many traditions as them, different type of traditions. Theirs is green color, ours is blue color. That's all the difference. But we don't see it. They say, oh, these traditions. Oh, we got rid of all that. If you want to know, read the Bible as one who has never read it before.
And
get rid of all the ways of praying and all the ways of speaking and everything that you've learned from others. I tell you, If you take it seriously, it will revolutionize your life. We say we are following the Bible, but we are not. We say we are following the New Testament, but we are not. This will help you. I knew a man of God, who was a great leader of churches, who used to read the New Testament once every month. 10 chapters every day. Because he said, "Oh, I don't want to miss out on anything the New Testament has. I want to be saturated in it so that everything in it is in our churches." So, the primary purpose with which the church exists is to show this world what God is like. So we want to have focus on that. Say, let's take a company. Like, say, Colgate. It's an American company which works in India. So let's say their goal is to produce toothpaste. We must produce first class toothpaste that people love to buy. And supposing at the end of the year they evaluate what have we done. And at the end of the year the evaluation is something like this. Well, due to various reasons we couldn't produce much toothpaste. And I mean, some of the toothpaste was tasting bad. And a lot of people didn't buy the toothpaste. But we had about 200 committee meetings in our company. And we had 9 or 10 enjoyable picnics in our company staff. And we had special meetings for our company staff on lectures on how to improve productions of toothpaste. That company will close down in no time. It should close down. And many churches should close down. Because they're not fulfilling the purpose for which they're there. They sing, they pray, and they have some meetings. But are we showing even the people in our church what God is like? Are our young people seeing how exciting it is to know God? It's worth giving everything to follow Jesus. It's worth sacrificing everything to live for Him. It should be like that. That's one of the primary purposes with which the church is existing. It doesn't have to be big. Jesus had a very small following. At the end of 3.5 years of labor, when he told people to wait for the Holy Spirit, only 120 people waited. Even though it says more than 500 people saw him after the resurrection. Yeah, they saw him after the resurrection. Only 120 people decided to wait for the Holy Spirit. So you can't say that Jesus earthly wise was a fantastic success. But the quality of people he produced was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I said, "Lord, if I can produce 11 people like you produced, that's enough for me." Wholehearted, radical. I mean, think of Thomas, forsakes everything and comes all the way to India to preach the gospel. Lord, have I produced one man like that? I have to ask myself. So gripped by the message of Jesus, they feel it's worth chucking everything in order to go and give the gospel.
சுவிசேஷத்தை விடுப்பதற்காக எல்லாவற்றையும் விட்டுவிட்டு செல்வது நல்லதே என்று இயேசுடைய பிரசங்கம் இருந்தது.
It was not just Thomas, 11 people like that.
தோமா மட்டுமல்ல, அவனை போல 11 பேர்.
What shall we say, brothers?
சகோதரரே, நாம் என்ன சொல்லலாம்?
Lord,
ஆண்டவரே,
we have got satisfied with having meetings.
கூட்டங்களை நடத்தி நாங்கள் திருப்திப்பட்டிருக்கோம்.
And more meetings.
அதிகமான கூட்டங்கள்.
And more meetings.
அதிகமான கூட்டங்கள்.
And special meetings.
விசேஷித்த கூட்டங்கள்.
And extra special meetings.
தேவைக்கும் அதிகமான விசேஷித்த கூட்டங்கள்.
And fasting.
உபவாசம்.
And prayer.
உபவாசம்.
Good. All is good.
எல்லாம் நல்லதுதான்.
But have we accomplished our purpose?
ஆமா, நம்ம நோக்கத்தை நிறைவேற்றிட்டோமா?
Otherwise this is like that company supposed to produce toothpaste and all they had is committee meetings on how to produce toothpaste.
அதனால அந்த toothpaste கம்பெனியை போல தான் 200 கூட்டம் நடந்து committee meeting நடந்தது. ஆனால்
So where is the failure?
தோல்வி எங்க இருக்கு?
If you read the Old Testament.
பழைய ஏற்பாட்டை வாசித்து பார்த்தா.
See what the prophets said.
திருக்குறள் என்ன சொன்னா?
Always the prophets spoke to the leaders first.
எப்பொழுதுமே தீர்க்கதரிசிகள் தலைவர்களுக்கு தான் முதலாவது பேசினார்.
Priests,
ஆசாரியர்கள்,
prophets,
தீர்க்கதரிசிகள்,
princes,
இளவரசர்கள்,
kings,
ராஜா.
You fellows have gone astray.
நீங்கள் வழிவிலகி போய்விட்டீர்கள்.
Lastly, the people also went astray.
கடைசியாக ஜனங்களும் வழிவிலகி போய்விட்டார்கள்.
So we have to say, Lord, where have we come short?
ஆண்டவரே, நாங்கள் எங்கே குறைபட்டிருக்கிறோம் என்று சொல்லுங்கள். கேட்க வேண்டும்.
Everything has to begin with us.
எல்லாமே நம்மிலே தான் ஆரம்பிக்க வேண்டும்.
If you yourself are not excited about Jesus Christ, how can you get other people to be excited about him?
நீங்களே பரவசப்படவில்லை என்றால் மற்றவர்கள் எப்படி நீங்கள் பரவசப்படுத்த போகிறீர்கள்?
Many of you are happy to come to a leadership seminar.
உங்களில் அநேகர் இவ்விதமான தலைமைத்துவ பயிற்சி முகாமுக்கு வருவதற்கு
how many of you can honestly say you're really excited about Jesus Christ?
நான் இயேசு கிறிஸ்துவினாலே பரவசப்படுகிறேன் என்று எத்தனை பேர் சொல்ல முடியும்?
Don't misunderstand me, not about being an elder. Not about ministry going here, there, everywhere, 7 days a week. That is like a Coca-Cola salesman excited about going all over selling Coca-Cola for 7 days. But Jesus himself. Excited about Jesus himself. If you can say, Lord Jesus, you excite me. I want you more than anything else.
And
the more excited you are with the person of Jesus Christ, the more excited you can bring other people to that position. Then you will know what God is like. And you'll be able to demonstrate God to other people.
தேவனை மற்றவர்களுக்கு நீங்கள் அப்படி விளங்க செய்ய முடியும்.
And our young people will realize that God is the most interesting person in the universe.
நம்முடைய வாலிபர்களும் இந்த அண்ட சராசரத்திலே இயேசு கிறிஸ்து தான் மிகவும் விருப்பமுள்ளவர் என்று அறிந்து கொள்வார்கள்.
And they will not feel it's boring, church is boring.
சபையானது போர் அடிக்கிறதே
மாதிரி, Bible is boring.
வேதமானது போர் அடிக்கிறதே
மாதிரி. World is, they say it's bad, but it's a lot more interesting out there.
உலகம் மோசம் என்று தான் சொல்கிறார்கள், ஆனால் அதிலே எவ்வளவோ விருப்பமுள்ள காரியங்கள் இருக்கிறதே என்று சொல்கிறார்.
Yeah, I don't blame many of our young people. Because they say it's boring, I say, yeah, unfortunately that's true in your situation. But I tell them, listen, your church may be boring, but God is not. Jesus Christ is not. Do you know what it is, my brothers, to walk with Jesus and talk with Him? See, that's the whole basis of our ministry. That you yourself are walking with Jesus and knowing more and more the heart of God. You know, feeling the heartbeat of God. And not influenced by all this modern type of Christianity. See, there's one more thing that we have to demonstrate in the church. I just want to mention two things. First, I mentioned to show this world what God is like. To show the world what God is like.
And,
okay, forget the world. At least to show the 15 people sitting in our church what God is like. To show the 5 young people sitting in our church how exciting it is to know the Lord. That's number one. That God is not boring. He's not a judge. He's not a policeman. Now if you say all that, and then you behave like a policeman yourself, they won't believe you. You have to demonstrate. God's not a policeman and I'm not a policeman either. And God's not a judge and I'm not a judge either. God's a father and so am I. The second thing, you know, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the earth for two things. And that was, first of all, is to show what God is like.
Yeah.
In that connection, I forgot to show you the second verse. I mentioned this. No one has seen God at any time. It's mentioned only twice in the Bible. One is here, John 1:18, we saw that. The other is the only other place in the Bible where it says no one has seen God at any time. Is 1 John 4. When no one had seen God at any time and Jesus came to earth, He showed it. Now it is referring to our time. This is 21st century. 1 John chapter 4. In the 21st century also, 1 John 4:12, no one has seen God at any time, even now. So how will they see Him now? Jesus is not here. Now they will see Him in us. If we love one another, God is there. And His love is completed in us. Filled. And the meaning is that people will see God once again. They will see from you your conduct, your behavior, and the way you run your church, and the way you run your meetings, and the way you conduct yourself at home and in every other place,
that
God is love. God is love. They will see that. And they will see how you love one another. I mean, you may be only 15 people in your church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say about you have to have a great number of people. But we have to demonstrate God in our church because no one has seen God at any time. Jesus demonstrated it in His time. John chapter 1. And we, in 1 John 4, have to demonstrate in our time. Because I tell you, even Christians haven't seen what God is like. What is the impression you have given to your unconverted relatives about what God is like? See, we all have unconverted relatives. And they've seen our life. Have they seen what God is like by looking at us? Does God fight for property? If they see you fight for property, what will they say? If they see you behaving just like everybody else, running after money, they think this God runs after money. I heard the testimony of a Hindu man who was in the Indian Army in the Second World War. And he had some interest in knowing about Jesus. So he was in one of those, during the war somewhere in Saudi Arabia area or somewhere, along with the British Army soldiers. And Christmas time came. And he knew this is the birthday of this Christian God. And he saw these so-called Christian soldiers getting drunk and behaving so badly.
He
said, boy, this Christian God is a terrible God. Our Hindu gods are not drunkards like this. I don't want this. That's one extreme example. Now, we don't show God, our God as a drunkard God, do we? We don't do that. We can show God as a very legalistic, strict person. You are unconverted, I'll have nothing to do with you. I become a holy man now. If I come anywhere near you, I'll become unholy. But that was the exact opposite of Jesus Christ. He was in the mixing with the most sinful people, and he never got polluted. We have failed. I'm not saying that we spend all our time with our unconverted relatives. I don't have much contact with my unconverted relatives. But whenever they see me, I don't want to present a wrong image of God to them. You see, most of the time they don't want to spend time with me because I am not interested in their type of conversation. You know how it is. I've also had this experience. You go to some unconverted person's house, they dominate the conversation and they talk about the most useless things which you have no interest in. I can't endure it for more than 2 minutes, but out of courtesy I sit there for 15 minutes. But that's the reason why I don't have much contact with these people, because I see we don't have any common interests. But I don't want to show them a God who is not interested in sinners. And God is a God of love. Okay, the second thing which the church is supposed to demonstrate is very important, is that Jesus is alive. These are the two things, that God is a loving Father and that Jesus is alive. I believe that the Holy Spirit has come to demonstrate these two great truths. God is a loving Father and Jesus is alive. So we need to ask ourselves as a church, are people getting that idea from when they see us? God is a good loving Father and Jesus is alive. Or do they just get the idea, this is a bunch of noisy people that come together on Sunday morning and make a lot of noise? I've asked myself this about our neighbors. I said, what is their impression about our church? A nuisance every Sunday morning. They make such a lot of noise. And we're just waiting for 11:30 to come, the whole thing will be over. Or do they see something that there's something about our lives? Something about our faces, something about our children. But there's difference. The way we have brought up our children. And the way we relate to them. That they see a humility and a love. And they see that in trials and testings, we don't react like them. We don't react like them because Jesus is alive. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. I believe that's one of the greatest truths that the church has to demonstrate. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. But if we say, well, he was different then, he's different today. No, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He was very interested in people when he was on earth. And he's very interested in us today. He's not a dead person buried in the grave. You know, this is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions in the world. If people were to ask me, what's the difference between your religion and all the other religions? What shall we say? Oh, we love our enemies. Or we are supposed to love our enemies. I'll say Mahatma Gandhi also did that. Or you say something else. Our God is merciful and compassionate. They say, oh, everywhere we see it written, Allah, most merciful and compassionate. No, that's not the thing. The founder of every religion is dead. But Jesus is alive. He's living today. I can talk to him. He talks to me. When I have a problem, I can go to him. He's living. He doesn't ignore me. He's a living person. It's not that we don't have problems. We have problems just like everybody else in the world. Our children have sicknesses like other children in the world. But we have a living person we can go to. The things that are happening in the world bring turmoil into our hearts, should bring turmoil like everybody else's. But it doesn't. It doesn't bring turmoil. Because I take it to Jesus. And I know that He is there. He's living. And in our church services, people must sense Jesus. I remember recently at my son's wedding. You know, wedding is a very important day for parents and boy and girl getting married. I prayed like this. I said, Lord, I don't care if it rains like anything. It would be good if it's clear weather. It's easier for people to come. I don't care if it rains. I don't care if the electricity fails. Amplifier doesn't work. So many things go wrong. Lord Jesus, if you are there, that's all I want. The other things are extra. We have it, well and good. If we don't have it, not so serious if the Lord is there. But what is it what even many Christians are looking for in their wedding? Just clear weather. The caterers didn't make any mistake. Everything was done properly. And the preacher didn't preach too long. And everything went smoothly. Was the Lord there? I don't know, but all these other things went smoothly. Why? Seek and you shall find. Well, what you sought for, you got. You prayed, oh God, keep the weather clear. He did it. How earnestly did you pray, Lord, you come there, be there. Let people sense your presence. Our church services, we're so interested in the singing. Songs. And nowadays all these fantastic musical instruments where they know exactly like these worldly musicians play. They know how to play it in our churches also now. We're not ordinary people anymore. We can compete with all these marriage performances, and all our keyboard players are really top class. They can get the right beat and everything going. Is the Lord there? I'm not against these things. Have it all. Brother, if Jesus is not there, it's like having a wedding where everything went well but the bride did not come. Or the bridegroom did not come, rather. Everything else was wonderful. Oh, you should have tasted the food there. And the message was fantastic. Only bridegroom, for some reason or the other, never turned up. This is a description of a lot of church services. And some other poor brother getting married in a hut, no keyboard, no electricity, but the bridegroom and bride are there. I say, I'd rather have a church service like that, where the bridegroom is there. Do you want that? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. One of the words that has become very precious to me of late is Exodus and chapter 33, where Moses prayed, verse 15, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us from here. To say, Lord, if your presence is not there this Sunday morning, our meeting is a waste of time. If your presence is not with us in our home, what's the use of all the marble floors and the verses on the wall and everything else? Is Jesus there? When people come to your house, do they sense Jesus? Joy of the Lord, the peace of God. When they come to your church, I remember in the early days in CFC, people would come, visitors, and nobody would even talk to them. It's all changed now. We make them stand up, we greet them, we welcome them. And some of them have testified, we've never had so many people come and talk to us after any church service anywhere. We must be warm and welcoming like Jesus was. People must sense Jesus is here. Otherwise we have failed. So brothers, let's pray.